Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
It was a month ago today, actually, that our hearts were moved. Our hearts felt as if they were ripped from us. As news from Kamloops spread across our land, and then this week again, the discovery of the remains of 751 at a residential school in Saskatchewan. This month is Indigenous History Month, and so as a church, we've been giving focus and attention in ways that we can weekly. And today, we wanted to give special attention and a moment of reflection in our service for us as a church family to consider our response and how we can be part of God's redemptive and healing work in our world. We've heard disturbing numbers, and friends, I think we all know that this is a beginning of a journey. There are more numbers that we're going to hear about. And I want to give you another number. I want this number, I want you to remember it, because in the years in front of us, as we hear other numbers, I want you to remember this number with it. 127. 127. Why don't you just say that quietly under your mask right now or at home? 127. Why 127? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says this. So God created people in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. 215. 127. 751. 127. Each life that we remember in these moments was an image bearer. We don't exactly know how healing, redemption, forgiveness, all of these things will unfold in our future, but we know this, it's anchored on us embracing the reality that God views each of his children on earth, everyone, as an image bearer. Our response as a church must include listening, learning, caring, and today reflecting. So I'm asking you, while you stand with me in this moment, to observe a moment of silence for a minute and 27 seconds in remembrance of image bearers who lost their lives at residential schools. Let's observe that together now. As we continue to stand right now, I want to lead our church family in a prayer of lament. God, our Father, we know you. We have experienced your great love for us. We are certain of your goodness and your kindness and your mercy to us, even in our sin. We are certain of your saving love that has been extended to us in Christ. We are certain of the redeeming power and presence of your Holy Spirit among us. But our hearts hurt. We grieve over unmarked graves. We lament the deaths. We lament the separation of families. We lament the very existence of a program like this in our nation. We lament the families who never knew what happened to their children. We confess to you today that we struggle to comprehend a world where this kind of racially driven evil is perpetuated by people in the name of Jesus. We confess that we struggle to know how to respond, but we come to you. We pray for the generations of Indigenous peoples who are impacted by the residential school system, that you might pour out your love upon them. We ask that you would work miracles of forgiveness and reconciliation. We ask that the truth would come into the light of day where healing can begin. We ask for justice for those who have been victimized. We ask for the end of cycles of brokenness and hostility. We ask that many would trust in you, finding the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus, that many would be saved. Come, Holy Spirit. Do a work in our midst. Shock us with your power. Reveal to us your love. Fill us with courage in the face of evil. Fill us with passion for Christ-centered justice. To those who suffer, give new hope in the place of their despair. To those who are broken, give new joy in the place of mourning. To those who are confused, give peace in the place of chaos. God, we trust you. We know you are among us and are at work. In this pain, hear our prayer in Jesus' name. And the people said, Amen. Let me pray for you one more time now, and then we're going to transition. Father, you've called us to be ministers of reconciliation. I ask for your hand to touch each individual here in the room and home right now, that there would be a confidence in our souls knowing that we have been appointed and anointed to bear witness to your peace and reconciliation in this world, into chaos and into darkness and into discord. You send us with your hope. Would you embolden us? Would you anoint us with strength by your Spirit? Would you give us words when we don't know what words to speak? Would you give us your Spirit's power to bring healing and forgiveness and hope to our land? And we pray these things together in the strong name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen, amen, and amen. This is the closeout of our series on Family on a Mission. It's been so important for us to learn about each other, how to care for one another in each generation, how to understand each other. Hopefully, if you work with a millennial or you work with a boomer, you're a little more compassionate and empathetic towards their peculiarities, because we all know that Gen Xers are the ones that kind of got it all figured out. There's just so few of us, but man, we nailed it, right? Okay, maybe not, but it's been a great series. Pastor Trevor's going to share the last message in a moment on Gen Z. It's going to be helpful. I want you to think about Gen Zs in your world. You might have some in your neighborhood. You might have children, grandchildren. This will help you, not just to understand them, but to reach them with the gospel of Jesus. This concludes the series. Next week, I'm going to launch a new series for our summer from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to rediscover Jesus together. In fact, maybe I'll put it this way. We're going to repair Jesus this summer. And so I invite you to join beginning next Sunday in person and online through the Gospel of Mark. You can begin reading that and digging into that together. As Pastor Trevor prepares and as we're about to watch a bumper video, let me just say this. As you look at him today, I want you to have this thought. I bet that guy's turning older this week. And you'd be right. It's his birthday this week. And today, and I want you to applaud with me, is Kim Finstad's birthday as well. Happy birthday week to all Finstads.
So nice to see you. There's a lot of life here this morning. Do you guys sense that too? A lot of life. Holy Spirit is here this morning. I have the joy and privilege of sharing with you our last series that I've actually really enjoyed. I've really enjoyed learning more about our elders, our boomers, our Gen Xers, our millennials, and today I get to talk about a generation that I love and I care for so much, not just because I'm the youth pastor and kids pastor and work with families and parents, but also because I have two of these generations living inside my house. Who's looking forward to doing some learning this morning? You just raise up your hand. Great. First, I just want to say a special congratulations to two graduates that are that belong to our church, and we have a picture going up. We have James Sargentson and Joel Saunders. Give these guys a hand. So proud of these young men. God's got some big plans for these two in store, and I know James will be here for the foreseeable future, and then Joel will be moving to the wonderful, beautiful metropolis of Surrey. So it'll be a little bit different for him moving from Comox. So we could keep these guys in our prayer. Let's just pray for these two, all right? Lord, I just thank you for James. I thank you for Joel. Lord, that you have these two in your hands, that you have them, that you are with them every step of the way. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would impress on them, Lord, that you are just with them, that you care for them, Lord, that they can go to you at any time. Lord, speak to their hearts. Lord, bring friends to them wherever they go, Lord, that will encourage them in their faith with you. Lord, we just thank you for these two individuals. We thank you for this accomplishment. And they did such a great work. They worked so hard in high school. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo, it's hot in here. Am I right? Woo. So each generation is unique and diverse and equally to the life and the unity of CPC. Our hope is that all generations can work together as one, as a united group. You are all needed. I want you to really understand this, okay? I really want you to understand this. You are all needed more than ever to help pass the baton to our next generation. Ephesians 4:11-13, some scripture that we have heard a fair bit over the last few weeks. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. And this morning, that is my heart, to help us reach a generation that is so far from God. They say that this generation is a spiritual blank slate, the furthest away from God for generations there has ever been. I love, there's some key words in here that will help us to reach the next generation. Words like equip. We need to equip our young people. We need to equip our kids to build them up, to give knowledge. These are key words in working with this next generation. A few facts about Gen Z. I don't know about you, but I really like facts. Like, they're kind of like quirky facts about this generation. And if you're a parent, probably like people like Jenny and Sheila, you guys could probably even share more quirky facts about Gen Z. Am I right? So Gen Z are those that are born from 1999 till now. And please remember, my daughter always reminds me of this, that each Gen Z isn't a cookie cutter fit with these stats and facts, but you will see some similarities, all right? So Gen Z is also known as the I generation, Gen Tech, Next Gen, Digital Natives, Post Millennials, and my favorite, Screenagers. All right, get it? Teenagers rhymes with Screenagers. You probably already knew that. They are approximately 25% of the world's population. They are considered the most post-Christian generation so far, which means they're the farthest from faith or they trust in Jesus the least. There is a very little basis of faith or understanding of who Jesus is, and they never knew a day without Google or high-speed internet. Now, I said this kind of joke in the first service, but wouldn't it be great? Okay, parents, are you with me? Are you guys with me up there? Wouldn't it be great for kids to experience the wonderful dial-up internet? Am I right? And I asked, yeah, give it a hand, right? Our church should bring dial-up internet for one section of our church for kids to experience the internet that we had when we were younger. And I asked our Gen Z representative, Daniela, who led worship so amazingly and great, do you know what dial-up internet? And she had no idea. So I'm sure you kids have no idea. I want you to talk about it around your lunch table later on, okay? Dial-up was terrible and very unreliable. The average Gen Z received their first cell phone at the age of 10.3. Many of them grew up playing on their parents' iPads, phones, and tablets. They would prefer, 40% would actually prefer working Wi-Fi over functioning working toilets. They have grown up in a hyper-connected world. Their smartphone is their means of communication, their preferred means of communication. Millennials would use 3 forms of technology, while Gen Z would use 6. Laptop, desktop, phone, TV, iPad, and now gaming consoles. Preferred social media includes YouTube, Snapchat, Instagram, getting a little bit less, and many have left Facebook, much to the dismay of us Gen Xers, and even above that. 57% of Gen Z use their phones over 4 hours a day, and 40% would say they're digital addicts. I would say there's more, there'd be a higher percentage than that now. These stats were kind of taken maybe about a year or two ago. They get answers to life from Google and social media. Now, one area that what we've tried to do in our household, we've told our kids that they can ask anything. They can ask anything because a lot of times kids nowadays are going to Google or even worse, Google images if they hear of a word that they don't understand or they don't know. So we want to make sure that we were told, like we tell them that they can ask us anything and they won't get in trouble. Okay, so that's kind of a good thing to do in your house as well. And because of this, they are the most relationally equipped generation. They are more connected than ever, but they are also more isolated than ever. They are twice as more lonely compared to adults. When asked, my blank is very important to my sense of self. Number one was professional and educational achievement. They are career-driven individuals. Number two was hobbies and pastimes. Number three was gender and sexuality. And number four was groups of friends. I thought that would be a little bit higher, but the staggering ones tied for fifth and sixth were family and religion. See, this question has been asked from baby boomers on, and every generation previous has had family rated as number one, and for the most part, religion has been rated as number two. That's staggering. There's a few key ideas. Many churches bubble wrap Christian kids and create unrealistic fantasy-like environments and wonder why teens have no resilience in faith throughout their life. Many Christian teenagers are simply unprepared for the world that is waiting for them. Surveys, research from Christian and non-Christian students state that culture is changing so fast that teenagers are confused. And we already know parents are confused, am I right? I'm not looking at you guys, I'm pretending to look in a mirror, right? There's a key point though. Because this generation is the most post-Christian generation, we need to act like missionaries. We need to act like missionaries, to be a family, a congregation together, a family on mission. We need to think and act like missionaries. The Great Commission, we've heard this verse quite a fair bit. Matthew 28:19 says, "Wait, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Does it say wait? No, it says go. Go. "Therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit." Go is an action word. It says now. Investing in the next generation isn't easy. It involves time. It involves sacrifice. It involves grace. It involves humility. It involves becoming more and more like Jesus. We need to show Jesus authentically, to be an example of him wherever we go, in our neighborhood, in our community, in our home. I'm thankful for the church that we have. Often you can tell how much a church cares about next-gen ministries through budget. And I have to say that our church and our leadership really care. So why do we care about this generation? Why do you think we would care about this generation? Because Jesus loves young people. Now, I love young people. I've given my life to minister to kids. I've done this for quite a few years. But when I think of Jesus, he's the ultimate youth and kids pastor. I don't know if you read my dearly beloved last week. I'm not as good as writer as say our other staff members. But when I heard about the 215 Aboriginal students found in the grave sites at the residential school in Kamloops, my heart sunk. And as I was lamenting about it, I just remembered Jesus. How did Jesus treat children? How can we as a church, as members, treat children? I thought of Mark chapter 10, and we're going to be going through Mark. So maybe this is like a preview of what's to come, because I'm excited about this series coming up. So let's read Matthew chapter 10, verse 13. "People will bring little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them." Now, I want you to put yourself in this story, okay? I want you to put yourself in this story. Here, people are bringing their children to him, and disciples jump in and they say, "No, get away." But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And guess what he did? He took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. That is the Jesus I serve. He took them in his arms. Wouldn't Jesus be a great kids pastor? We also see in Mark 5:41 where he brings this little girl back to life from death. He grabs her hand and shows compassion and love for this little girl. Jesus loves kids. We should love kids. He was often criticized for spending time with the wrong people, such as tax collectors, sinners, and children. And some thought he should only spend time with the most important leaders, the devout, to help him improve his position and avoid criticism. But guess what? He was God. He wanted to spend time with those that needed him the most. Here, Jesus shows affection and care for the children. He puts his arms around them. Gen Z also wants to feel loved. They want to feel cared for. They want to come to a place where they feel loved and cared for and have compassion towards them. They want to go to a place that's a safe place, and that's what we try to provide in our youth ministry. Sometimes we're not perfect at it, but we try. Jesus told the crowd that they should trust in him with a similar childlike faith. Do you trust Jesus with a childlike faith this morning? Do you trust Jesus with the childlike faith this morning? Do you trust him in your marriage? Do you trust him in the relationships that you have? Do you trust him at your work? Do you trust him with your family? I don't know if I said marriage, but that's an important one. Do you trust Jesus with your marriage? You raising your kids? So how do we reach Gen Z as a church, as a family on mission? Number one is to get real. We need to get real, to live authentically. Romans 12:9, it talks about how let love, our love, be genuine, to hold fast to what is good. You've heard this here multiple times. To be missional and to reach the young generation, we need to be authentic, to pursue righteousness. But perfection is impossible, all right? But we can try. We need to practice what we preach. Gen Z is the lowest generation that follows a biblical worldview, right? Boomers would be at the top. They would follow the most out of all generations, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z at the end. They would be considered to have a spiritual blank slate. A spiritual blank slate. They are drawn to things that are spiritual, but they have seen this hypocrisy and fakeness of those who call themselves believers. They are also the most inclusive generation, so when they hear religious groups mention things that are beliefs that go against their values, they lose respect and interest. See, them seeing pictures of the residential school that Pastor Mike showed a few weeks ago, them seeing a picture of the administration of these schools with the word Jesus in the background affects things. These things have caused a growing apathy culture towards religion. So how can we change people's views? How can we change their thoughts that this isn't just about religion, organized religion? This is actually way more than that. This is about relationship. We are created to have relationship, to be in community. We have a relationship with Jesus. Listen, true trust in Jesus transforms our life as well as our thoughts. But the actions we show our commitment to God is real. When we love and serve others, it is a verification of our relationship with Jesus. We need to love and serve others. They go hand in hand. Second, we need to talk and listen. Deuteronomy 6:2-9, it's a call for wholehearted commitment. Verse 2, and you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey, then all will go with you. And you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you, this is a great verse, and you must love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. This is important, okay? repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. There's a key importance to talking about our faith, talking about our relationship with Jesus. We need to live that out throughout the day. It doesn't just happen maybe once a day or when before we're eating a meal. Here, Moses is giving instructions to the Israelite people. Moses was used of the Lord. He described a relationship that people should have with God. We need to impress our trust in Jesus to our children, to the students that are around us. Israelites were to talk about these, about God's commands throughout the day, and Moses says to repeat them over and over, again and again, to our children. But our actions need to line up with our words. Talk, talk, talk. To be intentional with the opportunity of discussions. Have a plan, maybe before they happen. Impromptu and unplanned discussions are equally as important. Mark 5:18-19 talks about Jesus delivering a man of demon possession. It's a great story. You should look it up. Jesus was getting into the boat afterwards, and the man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him, and Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." This man's number one job wasn't to just go with Jesus. His ministry was to go back home and talk to his family, to reach his friends. So how do we better serve and love our family to be on mission? How do we better serve and love our church family? That we are united together. And as parents and members of our church, we are here to raise disciples. You know, Barna, evangelical Christian polling firm, was asked questions among Christian parents. In this poll, it said 89% of Christian families attend church together. 59% pray together. 45% read and discuss the Bible. 44% volunteer and serve together. And 4% do nothing. Now, I'm not saying this to condemn you guys, all right? There's a few things that I can do better in these 5 points. But there's ways that we can grow. We can grow together. Listening is vital. You know, there's the talking and now the listening. There is a real importance for students, in Gen Z students, to have an important inner circle. And I believe wholeheartedly that the church, its youth ministry, its kids ministry, can fill that tank. To create places where kids can talk about anything. To have opportunities in small groups. And we have small groups. We'll have like classes, hopefully, in September, as long as COVID's all gone and all that good stuff. To give opportunities for kids and teens to have questions. That's why, Alpha Youth is so important. Alpha for adults, equally. Create places where kids can talk about anything, where people are there to listen. That's a key word. I want you to hear me on this as well. To listen to kids is very important because doubt isn't what kills faith. Silence is. Doubt isn't what kills faith. Silence is. We need to get talking to our kids, but we also need to listen. Encourage discussions around your house. Number 3 is aim them in the right direction. Do you guys know that Gen Z are gifts from God? Do you guys know that they're gifts from God? Those guys in the back there, you guys are gifts from God. Have you also heard that the Bible refers to kids as arrows? In Psalm, I actually really wanted to have a bow and arrow up here. I was going to borrow Dave's, and my wife and guys would understand this. Our wives are our voice of reason. She goes, you know, a bow and arrow, like that's a weapon, right? I'm like, oh, but I wouldn't use it as a weapon. So she's like, I think you probably shouldn't. So imagine a bow and arrow, okay? Now, it says, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the gate. Our kids and our teens are gifts from God. Raising kids is the most rewarding, but it also is the most challenging, one of the most challenging things that we can do. Some days are much easier than others. But as arrows, we need to point them in the right direction. This morning, I'm going to give you 9 ways how to shoot a bow and arrow, okay? Now, there's a common term, those who can't coach, okay? So, like, that's me. I'm not Dave Stubbs up here teaching you how to fire or shoot a bow and arrow. I don't even know the proper terminology on that. But we're going to go through 9 steps of how to shoot a bow and arrow, and you guys will be pros after this, all right? Practice, practice, practice is number 1. Parenting is full of ups and downs. Working with students is full of ups and downs. We learn from our mistakes, and as time moves further, you get better and better as long as we are humble and ready to fix our mistakes. To be honest with your kids and students about your mistakes. Number 2 is start practice sessions close to the target. Start with manageable goals, right? We can't build Rome overnight. Don't try to reach unattainable goals with your students. We can't just assume kids will come to church and fill our seats on a Sunday morning. It's not like the Field of Dreams mentality. If you build a church on 1919 Guthrie Road, it's not going to be filled automatically. We as individuals have to be on mission, every generation working together as one. We need to start at a comfortable draw weight. We don't want to carry too much weight on our shoulders. We need to use the village around us to help. You need me, I need you. At least maybe you don't, all right? Number 4 is hold the right stance. Authenticity is key. Morals. Get the right grip. If you don't, your shooting will be inconsistent. Be consistent. Hold on to God because he is the firm foundation. Number 6, use a consistent anchor point. Who's our anchor? Jesus. Aim small, miss small, to pursue righteousness. Lead others to understand who Jesus is. Number 8, release with care. Encouragement along the way is key. Cheerleading, be empathetic. Help this generation to know that you are for them, that you love them, that you care for them, that you are with them, that they can trust you. And number 9 is to follow through until the arrow hits the target. Show them that you are with them every step of the way. Remember, Pastor Laura talked about this last week with millennials. One of the issues was they didn't like it how people would get them to church and then kind of forget about them. We have to journey along with them to encourage every step of the way, to continue along with them. And sometimes discipleship can be messy. Sometimes you get phone calls in the worst times of night. Maybe you have to cook more food, but it's worth it. Gen Z is the hope for their and our future. Today's teenagers are growing up in a world where there is rapid changes in technology, communication, science, law, worldview. And these are creating a world for teenagers that leaves parents, teenagers, and mentors confused. It's also confusing teenagers. And we need to realize that kids have gone through the same things, are going through the same things that we even went through. Bullying. Tremendous doubt. Hormones. Loneliness. Boredom. It would be silly for us to think that our church kids are immune to these ever-changing culture changes. We really need to ask the question, and as parents, as leaders, how do we prepare them to follow Jesus? Not just till they're 18, but years down the road. How do we prepare them to follow Jesus? They are looking at us, teenagers. They are looking at you, how you are at school. Your friends are looking at you, how much of an example you are. I remember I struggled with this idea of being a Christian in high school. You know, everybody knew me as the pastor's kid. Everybody knew me as the Bible thumper, which I didn't care for that word at all. And you know what? There were times where I really screwed up and I didn't give Jesus a good name. There were times that I did pretty well. It was a journey, right? We're not perfect, but we try to do the best that we can. And the more we love God and serve God and learn more about Him, the better we'll be. So how does Gen Z clash with Christianity? I'm going to talk about four clashes, all right? The first one is truth. See, Gen Z and Christianity are deeply divided on how to know what is true. That Christians would say, we know God because we can see Himself, He reveals Himself in creation, in Scripture, and we have the example of Jesus. But many teens express confusion and uncertainty about truth and their grasp on it. Students need to have a sufficient idea about what truth is and where they can find it. As a church, we need to be an ear for them, to equip them, to point them in the right direction. The second one is sexuality. Most youth and young adults do not agree with Christianity's view on sexuality. That everything besides non-consent is okay. Whatever makes you feel good, you live for the moment. This is a large reason why pornography is so widespread with millennials and Gen Z. It's also because of accessibility. One thing we've done in our house is we don't allow phones in their rooms at night. That's just something that we do. We have computers in the living room. Those are safety precautions. Right? Some of you might have different ones, like you might have the circle. We can talk together and say, hey, like, what do you do to do better at this, right? We could talk to each other, utilize each other. Money is a real focus with Gen Z. That personal happiness and financial success actually go hand in hand, right? It's their number one view of happiness, right? Let me tell you, although there's nothing wrong with having enough money to provide and take care of your family, but it's the making of the pursuit of wealth one's primary life goals that's spiritually dangerous and even destructive. And honestly, even though this is a big issue with Gen Z, this could be an issue with us as well. Technology is our last one. This one can be a difficult one for sure, and maybe as a parent or a mentor of youth, you feel that maybe you have lost the battle of technology, right? and mobile devices. See, mobile devices and social media are fine to some extent, but they are no substitute for real relationships. We are designed to be in relationship with each other, to be in relationship with the Father. Caring adults actually need to care for teens virtually. And one thing I'd always tell grandparents, if you want a relationship with your grandkids, to learn how to use social media, texts, emails, maybe not even emails, but learn different methods of how to talk to your grandkids. I'm thankful to those leaders who have spoken life into my kids. It takes a village. They need different voices than just Kim and I. They need people like John and Jackie and Dakota, and we've got some good leaders. I'm thankful for those leaders who have sent messages to my kids, maybe even like gift cards to Starbucks and all that stuff. And I know other youth have been cared for in different ways as well. And if you haven't, please let me know, okay? Gen Z needs coaching and oversight on how to relate well on devices. And I've had students that feel much more comfortable asking questions or talking about what they're going through virtually. But one thing I always encourage is, hey, let's talk in person. Let's go face to face. Virtual connection cannot take place of human interaction. Human interaction is important. Aren't you so thankful COVID is on the outs? Come on now. So happy. I know you guys are hot. I'm just about done, all right? I'm cooking up here. I'm probably sweating like crazy. Here's two awesome things, and I'm going to close in these. Awesome things we can learn from Gen Z. Number one, diversity. This generation is all about diversity. Diversity is not just about race, it's about values, language, culture, family structures, interpersonal dynamics, finances, education. And Gen Z tends to be more comfortable than older generations and practicing diversity and unity than older generations. Gen Z is better with diversity than us adults. Perhaps, Gen Z, you guys can actually help us be more diverse as a church. We want you guys to show us how we can be better. You know, I constantly learn from our teens. I constantly learn from my daughter to care more. They hate exclusiveness. I hate exclusiveness. They love social justice. They love a cause. They want to make a difference. They have a huge heart for others. That can really help us. And because of this, we've got something in common, and that's Jesus. We have a great opportunity to reach this generation for Jesus. Tell them about who Jesus is, the character of Jesus, that he's loving, he's caring. He's all for you. He's all for them. He cared for the tax collectors, the lepers, the kids. He loves those kids that are social outcasts that hang out and get bullied at school. He loves those kids. He loves the homeless. He loves those kids that lost their lives in those grave sites. Students are open to hearing about these great qualities because they can relate. Second is empathy, and empathy has been another topic that's been discussed quite a bit. Because diverse views and experiences are the social norm for Gen Z, their tolerance threshold tend to be high and their appetite for antagonizing is low. Other adults view Gen Z as being oversensitive or politically correct. That could be viewed as a negative. But I'm thankful that they're sensitive. They care. We need to care for them. 1 Peter 3:15 at the end, it says, do this in a gentle and respectful way. We could be gentle, lead them. And instead of adults criticizing this generation of being too gentle and respectful, which is strange, we as adults may want to learn empathy from our teenagers. I learned how to be more caring for my daughter. I learned how to be more caring. I think I'm a pretty caring person already, but there's ways that I can improve. You'll notice in your kids some pretty great qualities, right? So church, family, Gen Z, we need to think and act like missionaries, to live out the Great Commission. This has to be a group effort as one church. We need to get real to be authentic. We need to talk and we need to listen. We need to aim them in the right direction. Let's learn of this generation's diversity and empathy. Church family, let's go into all the Comox Valley and make disciples. The Comox Valley needs you and me. There's people that I can't reach in your communities. There's people that I can't reach in your workplaces, but you can. I love this topic of being family on mission. Because wouldn't it be great? Maybe we do 4 services rather than 3. Or 5. Oh, that sounds exhausting, doesn't it, Mike? But it'd be good, right? Or we build a wall, right? That sounds familiar. What I want you to do, I want you to pray for our students. I want you to just take a minute. And I know we're running out of time. I want you to pray for Gen Z. And I want you to ask God, how can I reach Gen Z? I know you might be 70, you might be 80, you might be 20, 25. But there's people that you kind of rub shoulders with, people that you are around. How can we do better to reach this generation? Pray for our students. Pray for our youth ministries in town. We've got some good youth ministries in town. Pray for ours. Pray for our Youth for Christ, our YFC, who I love those people. I'm huge fans, and they're doing a great work. Let's just take a minute and pray, and then I'm going to close in prayer and ask Pastor Mike to come forward, and then we'll close in one song. So let's just pray. Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you that we can have this opportunity to share about these generations, these generations that you love and care for. We thank you for Gen Z. We thank you for the giftings that they are a gift from God. It says in your word that our kids and youth are gifts. Lord, that you would give us courage and boldness as parents and mentors and grandparents to help raise kids of godly character. Lord, in times we may be afraid. We may not know how to do it. Lord, that you would help us, equip us. And Lord, this generation is the future and the now of this church. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus.
Let's all stand together. For the last time in this series, we're going to conclude five generations together. Still not able to sing, but still able to praise from our hearts. Five generations, very unique, very diverse, unified together in one reality in Christ Jesus. We're going to sing a great traditional song of our faith. Laura will sing it. We'll carry along from our hearts. And then I'll pray a blessing over you to conclude. Let's proclaim this together.
Praise God.
Be so. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for each person here in person and joining us online right now. May your blessing, may your empowerment, may your anointing, your strength, your joy, and your hope carry us, fill us, and overflow from our lives as we walk out into a day and a week in front of us on mission in your world. I pray this blessing over each person in your strong name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen and amen. I'm going to invite you again to leave through this side door here, and you can feel free to connect with some people outside. Socializing's okay. Glad I can say that. Yay. And those of you who are joining us for the newcomers lunch, 12:30 downstairs. God bless you. Have a great, great week.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.